Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Amy Loboda, editor of Aviation for Women magazine and FAST Team representative, Fort Myers, Florida, who is today's host.
Welcome to FAA's Managing Safety Podcast. I'm Amy Loboda, the editor-in-chief of Aviation for Women magazine, and I'm your host today. I have with me Hugh Davis. He is a flight instructor with Flight Safety International in Houston, Texas, and he is a CRM expert. CRM, tell me what that stands for.
Well, it stands for Crew Resource Management. Resource management was designed initially for the airlines with more than one pilot flying it.
Okay.
And we've changed the name to cockpit resource management. Some people call it risk management, risk assessments, but it's all the FAA lists it as crew resource management or cockpit resource management. And it's a way to promote safety because many of our accidents happen, and they determine this through airline studies and general aviation studies, that the pilot is the problem, not the aircraft. And even up to now, with the latest NAAL report, that accidents are caused by pilots. 65-70% every year seems to be the case.
Which kinds of pilots are you seeing coming in to Houston, Texas, the Flight Safety International there? I know you've got a bunch of simulators there.
Flight Safety trains people at different centers, and I believe there's 44 of them around the world. All the way from student pilots up to the pilots that fly Air Force One. In Houston specifically, the smallest program, or the smallest in size program, is the Turbo Commander program, which I've been a part of for the last 5 years. We also have Embraer jets, the 145, and corporate pilots as well as airline pilots come and utilize those simulators. We have a Hawker, ATR, 42 and 72, quite often used for air cargo these days, but there's some commercial activities. We have Challenger, a Saab, and there might be some new simulators on the horizon, but I can't recall what they are right now. But we have quite a few simulators. The pilots that I train mostly are operators for the Turbo Commander, and we have two distinct groups. We have corporate pilots who are working for a particular company, could be air ambulance, could be air charter, could be privately owned aircraft operated by a professional pilot. And we have a considerable amount of pilots who come and train that are owner operators. And I really like to work with those gentlemen. They typically fly single pilot. They're about my age, older gentlemen, and they take their business very seriously, and they take their flying very seriously. So when we talk about crew resource management or aircraft systems, they really pay attention, and they want to do the best they can when they're training with us.
Now, one of the reasons why these GA pilots seem to be so serious, and like you said, they tend to come in mm-hmm. with a fair amount of flight experience. Could it be that a lot of them are carrying their own families and precious cargo?
Absolutely. And I'm not going to say they have a considerable amount of flight experience, but they have a lot of, a general opinion of how their flying experiences. They've owned some high performance single engine airplane. They graduated to a prop or a recip twin. Mm-hmm. And since then, they have then bought a Turbo Commander. And we train from the 690 all the way up to the latest aircraft that was built by Aero Commander, the 695, or the Model 1000 is what we call it. These gentlemen typically are very professional in their business, so their business dictates that they can afford one of these airplanes. And so they fly their airplane as well as they run their business.
Tell me, is it typically the first time they've heard the term CRM when they come through your door?
I'm going to say no, because CRM is a term that the FAA has indicated in the PTS, whether it's private pilot flying all the way up to ATP. CRM is an evaluation or an examiner or an instructor or a designated pilot examiner is required to test or evaluate a pilot based on CRM, known CRM skills. What I do specifically with some of our customers, our clients, is I create scenarios or situations that have happened that's been accident-based. I'll put them in a holding pattern and give them clearance for an approach and see whether they're going to do an extra loop in the holding pattern to lose altitude or if they're going to go in there and dive the airplane in on the final approach. That's a good CRM tool, but I create a scenario or a certain situation, and after this period is over with, then we'll evaluate whether it was right or wrong, or how we could have improved on that situation.
So you try to teach some judgment with this.
Absolutely, yeah. Good judgment is critical. It's been mandated also by the FAA in any kind of evaluation, whether it's a flight review or it's for a 135 operator who needs an annual or a semi-annual check. We're always trying to develop good judgment habits.
Good judgment. We're gonna talk about that a little bit more here after the break. We are with Hugh Davis, Flight Safety International. This is Amy Labota, and we'll be right back with FAA's Managing Safety.
Now, let's rejoin Amy Labota and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
Welcome back to FAA's Managing Safety. I'm your host, Amy Labota, and today I have here with me Hugh Davis, who is a flight instructor for Flight Safety International in Houston, Texas, where he specializes in training on the Turbo Commander aircraft, of which there are several different varieties, and you train on all of them.
There's six different models. We have two simulators at Flight Safety, full motion visual simulators that deflect the airplane down to even the gust lock in the airplane. Everything looks exactly like it would be on a typical Turbo Commander, including GPS. We have a Garmin 530 in both aircraft. So we have, I'm not going to say it's the latest Garmin now, mm-hmm. but it's what the majority of our operators have. And I'm going to go back into CRM a little bit and give you an idea of my love for the talking of CRM. I started out with I was an airline captain, and of course all the airline pilots had to take it, and we called it charm school because it was the captain who had made all the decisions, and nobody cared whether the co-pilot or the first officer had any kind of input. Well, we've discovered that many times accidents have happened because of that. Somebody's made a concern. You know, is this right to do, or are we sure? Should we go or should we not go? We are now taught that when we hear those buzzwords, that something is bothering somebody else, and maybe we ought to look back at the big picture and come up with another scenario. Do we really have enough gas? Is the weather really good enough to go? And that gives the captain, if he's a good captain, he should realize that is somebody's concern is paramount, and he should address it. I later, at the same airline, I did a video with several other airline captains and co-pilots, and the whole airline, our whole airline, got to see that during a recurrent training. And then I became an aviation safety counselor in general aviation, and took my expertise, what I learned in the airlines, and try to promote it amongst general aviation. And so today, individually, I teach CRM to our individual clients as they come back for recurrent, or also for the clients who come back in for the initial training.
It's a package deal when they come to you at Flight Safety International. You get very few people who come only once. Would that be correct?
Absolutely. Once they see what we have to offer, we have fabulous visual graphics, we have computer systems, and of course the simulator, the full motion based simulator. We have the tools to create fires in the airplane, emergency, how to get out of the airplane. We can terminate an engine at rotation, which you'd never want to do in a real airplane. Rejected landings, we duplicate wind shear. Traffic, we can bring airplanes coming across your path. We can demonstrate loss of oxygen or loss of pressurization in the aircraft. and a good majority of a lot of other electrical problems, hydraulic problems. So when the student walks away from his either his recurrent or his initial training, he's had all of these failures during his class, and he'll have a pretty good idea of how to handle it. We're not there just for the 3 or the 5 days that he's here, but we want him to come back, talk to us. They then generally come back within a year for more training, we enhance it. We teach them the systems on the airplane, and then later on we teach them, we put them in scenarios as they become more and more familiar with the aircraft. So we've had, for the 5 years that I've been with flight safety, there are gentlemen there that call me up and ask me to teach them because they really like our training. They like the way I present it. It's like a good family. And being here at the Commander University, we're seeing all these people that that we have trained, and the Commander family is a close-knit group of people who are there to fly a wonderful airplane, but fly it as professionally as they possibly can.
Well, they have to, because the Commander is such a capable airplane, particularly the turbine version of it.
Oh yes, it's very capable. We have operators that base out of 8 or 9,000 foot airports. I can't tell you the exact elevation at Telluride, he flies. A majority of us flying in the mountains. He spoke today on mountain flying, very informative. We've had owner-operators have flown their commanders around the world, and with all the political unrest, it was quite interesting to listen to what he had to say about his aircraft experiences. But we have business people who fly their airplanes up and down the East Coast, and the weather's always a problem. We were talking about this earlier today with the next rad weather. Radar and weather radar, and with the latest or the most recent thunderstorm activity that's taken across the central part of the states and the East Coast, it's all fit in during this stay here.
I can imagine. And tomorrow you're going to be speaking on some crew resource management of a different sort with your pinch hitter stuff.
I will. It's a program that I developed 2 years ago for the most recent university in Scottsdale, Arizona. I personally own a Cessna 310, and my wife rides and flies with me quite regularly. And I've always thought about, well, what should I do? What would happen if I became incapacitated? And so I have pointed out some things to her. But then I created a PowerPoint demonstration with the commander, specifically the commander. My wife originally took the pinch hitter course through AOPA, but it was a general course, and this one is related to the aircraft, the radios. Typically, other in the turbo commander, and specific power settings, speed settings, and different applications. We've modified it slightly, made it better. I'm sure we included new graphics that we've computer aided graphics that are part of our recurrent and initial courses. And we have quite a few significant others, spouses, who come to the class. And then sometimes they even come into the simulator when their husband comes down to train. They'll come into the simulator, and they will actually get a chance to sit in the simulator, and I'll work with them a little bit. And we've had very good luck with them bringing the airplane down and landing it at an airport.
Excellent. Have you actually had anybody who's had an emergency like that?
I don't know of anybody in the commander program that way, but based on the age of the owners, and I'm going to say owner operators who are somewhere between 50, and we have some 70-year-old pilots that are quite capable of flying the airplane to airline standards. They consistently bring their family down, bring their wives down. Their wives attend my classes. But thank God there's been no problem yet. But there's been some accidents that's happened in the past where we believe that the pilot was incapacitated and everybody perished on that particular flight. I personally are trying to eliminate that problem and getting somebody on the ground. I don't really care whether the airplane is used for another flight or not, but I'm really concerned that I can see the person that brought the airplane down, that she did a good job, or he or did a good job, while the real pilot was incapacitated.
Absolutely a worthy cause, and well worth the trouble and the time that you've taken to put together this course. I'm sure there are a lot of people who feel that way. Hugh, if people want to find out more information about the Turbo Commander training program in Houston, Texas, where would you send them?
First thing is, of course, Flight Safety has a website. Mm-hmm. Twin Commander has a website. Simply by Googling Turbo Commander Training, that'll point you to Twin Commander Universities or the Twin Commander LLC, which supports the aircraft. And of course, Flight Safety will come up on a Google search, and it's there. In fact, I did it just recently, and saw that our site's there. And in fact, there's one of the articles that I wrote for Twin Commander talking about our center down there. So I encourage somebody to read that.
Excellent. And that's www.twincommander.com is their website. That's a great place to start. Hugh Davis, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here today on FAA's Managing Safety Podcast. Have a safe flight.
Thank you very much, Amy.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.